Be in the Lord's house tonight, isn't it? Take this time in the middle of the week to be here and be refreshed. I trust the Lord's doing things in your life. I trust that throughout the week, even this week, you're spending time with the Lord and He is meeting your spiritual needs and you're walking with Him. And that's a great thing to be in the Lord's house on Wednesday night. And really, this is our prayer meeting night. This really is an important time for our church. And, you know, we can just get into a routine. We can get into a habit of life. And Wednesday night just kind of becomes a thing. We make sure we're getting to the preaching by 7:30 and we're wrapping up our prayer time by 8:30 and we're going down to the food pantry after that. You know, we kind of got our pattern that we got down. But in reality, we can lose the importance of what this night is all about. And I've been challenged even with this matter of prayer recently in my life and just how important and essential this is. And maybe just a simple challenge, and this isn't necessarily what my message is about here tonight, but even as we go to our prayer time, you know, prayer is about spending time with Jesus. It's about being there with Him in His presence. And think about it in maybe this light. You know, when you spend time with a person that you have a great friendship with, you know what? You value that time. You treasure it. It's something that you look forward to. It's something that you don't simply just rush in and rush out of it. No, you take the time to meet with that person, to hear what they have to say, to spend that time with them. And, you know, that ought to be our heart tonight even as we go to our prayer groups. You know, we get to spend time with Jesus. We get to be in His presence. And we ought to value that time. Whether it's in our morning, in the morning, or throughout the day as we spend time with Jesus, or in our prayer group, we ought to value that time. It ought to be very important to us. And honestly, many times it's not valuable or a time we treasure because really Jesus isn't that important to us. And that's a sobering thing that we don't want to admit many times, but that is reality. And the reason we may force a couple minutes in the morning or throughout the day when we have a need, and that it's not a vibrant, real thing in our life is because really Jesus isn't that important to us. And you know what? Tonight when we get up from our prayer time, we ought to know that we have met with Jesus. And I trust that each of us in our groups can experience that here tonight. Well, if I were to ask you about your Christian life, how would you describe it? Now, I've been thinking about this aspect when somebody says, how are you doing? You know, our normal response is, oh, we're doing great, we're doing well. And we could have just had our tire pop on our car a few minutes earlier, and we are just our normal response is, we're doing well, we're doing great, or something like that. And I don't often think about, well, am I really doing well, or how should I properly answer when somebody does that? But that's our normal response. Oh, we're doing good. We're doing well. Well, when I ask how to describe your Christian life, how would you describe that? Is it a life marked by the presence of God? The evidence of Him in your life? Or does it reveal a lot of you? Of flesh? Is your Christian life a life of regular, consistent victory or of regular defeat and failure? Is it a life of joy, of peace, of trust and rest in the Lord? Could you describe your life as one having a living, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ? Not just a few minutes maybe that we would spend with Him in the morning, but a love for Him and a fellowship with Him that is a very real, genuine reality all day long. Would that describe your life? Would that describe your Christian life? You know what? Often our perspective of what God wants our life to be gets because we're human. And we don't often experience the life, Christian life, that God intends for us to have and to be experiencing And it's a wonderful thing. The Christian life is a wonderful thing. And, you know, many times I think as Christians, we go around with a frown on our face and, you know, discouraged and down about everything. When we have the best life, we have everything. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are in a vibrant relationship with Him, that becomes evident in our life. God fully intends for our Christian life and experience to be filled with a reality of His presence, or with the presence of Jesus Christ. To not be experiencing that gives us a false view of the Christian life. And to be honest, you know, God has been showing me my own need for a real relationship with Him. Not something that's forced or mechanical, but a genuine walk, moment by moment, walk in relationship with God. And that is what He intends and desires for every one of us. You know, every single child of God, He wants us to be experiencing that. He wants us to be experiencing Him in our life. To not be experiencing that is something, experiencing something less than what God desires and intends for us. The fact is that we often fail to live and experience the Christian life like we ought. This teaches us an important biblical principle that we see as a pattern throughout Scripture, that the child of God is really in a regular need for revival. He is in a a pattern of a need for revival. You know, we don't get to one spot and all of a sudden we're good as a Christian. No, we fail. We fall at times. And there becomes a pattern, a principle we see in Scripture of a regular need of revival. The regular need for a believer to come back to that place that God intends him to be. That blessing that God intends for him to be experiencing and for God to be blessing him with. And I want us here just in this evening to look at a few truths on this principle of the believer's regular need for revival. And we have revival meetings coming up. We had them at the beginning of this year. But are those the only times that we need to be thinking about that? You know, it's a principle, and I trust that the Spirit of God will help us to see it tonight, that, you know, just because of who we are, there is a regular need for God's working and His presence in our life. So the first thing I want us to see here tonight, why Christians are in regular need of revival, is first of all, the presence of indwelling sin. You know, we're sinners. That's who we are. And that very fact makes it necessary for us, you know, that we are going to sin. That we are going to break that fellowship, that relationship that God intends us to be having. It's going to be broken at times. And because of sin. And that is a reason that we need regular times where God has to bring us back to that walk that He wants us to have. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. And there nobody else in the Scripture explains this fight, this battle, better than the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. And that battle with sin that we face daily. There may even be times in the day, regular times throughout the day, where we need God to restore our fellowship with Him, our relationship with Him because of sin. And look in Romans chapter 7. And verse 18, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Can you relate with this in any way? Want to do good, but that battle, that fight there because of sin and our sin nature. "Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Oh, as a Christian, we want that walk with God. We desire that. But you know what? Sin is a reality in our life. And you know, when we fall, when we yield to sin, it breaks that relationship, that fellowship with God, making it necessary for us to experience revival, to be restored to fellowship with God. You know, we have that desire, but that sin nature is so strong. And Paul puts it in such clear words there. He wants to do good, but it's like he can't because of that sin. And obviously, in and of ourselves, we yield to that sin. That's why we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We can't in and of ourselves overcome our sin nature, but with the Spirit of God, we can. That's why he's there. Isaiah refers to us as sheep. And that picture is very helpful because sheep just go their way. They just want to go their own way. And that's, in a sense, a picture of our life. Because it's not natural for us to seek after God. It's not natural for us to desire Him over the lust of our flesh or sin. Jonathan, our little boy, is getting to the point where he likes to be down. And, you know, if we're in a new place or anywhere, if there's excitement going on, be down and just trying to run around and get to a new place. And I've noticed recently just having to continually try to get him to stay by me. It's a very daunting task to get him to learn, okay, just stay right by me here. Just wants to take off and go his own way. And he always finds his way to the stairs or the buttons by the elevator or something like that. But it's a constant, when I'm not holding him, it's a constant battle to keep him near me. Well, that's how our sinful nature is. It just so quickly wants to go its own way. When we yield to sin, when we have been defeated in our life because of sin, that reveals our need for fellowship with God to be restored. Because God intends for us to walk in victory. He intends for us to walk in a vibrant relationship with Him. So the reality of sin in our life is a reason for a regular need for revival in our life. Turn with me as well to Romans chapter 6. And here we see that in this matter of sin, we have a decision to make whether who we yield to. And there's a continual yielding that needs to take place in our life, whether we yield to God or yield to sin. Look at verse 13. It says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." That reality of sin in our life is real. And so we have a decision to make who we yield to, whether we yield ourselves to God or we yield ourselves to sin. And that reality is there because of the presence of sin in our life. Now, when we make wrong decisions, when we choose, when we yield to go our own way, that puts us in a place where we need God's working, where we need His reviving in our life. Just as a way of application here tonight, I wonder, who have you been yielding to? Even today, who have you yielded to? God? To righteousness? Or have you yielded yourselves to sin? To some area of wrong in your life? I think all of us can relate with this truth here tonight, that because of sin in our life, we have a regular need for God's working, for Him to draw us back into fellowship and that vibrant walk in relationship that He intends for us to have. Now, I want us also to see here tonight, the Bible Scripture illustrates this truth. And we see the pattern of this regular need of revival in Scripture. And a very, very familiar passage, but Psalm 85, once you take a look there. And our heart can relate with the psalmist here. In Psalms chapter 85, And in this whole passage, it's showing the principle that God wants to revive. He wants to bring back His people, whether it's the New Testament believer or whether it's His people, the nation of Israel. He wants to have that kind of a relationship with Him. In verse 6, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." The psalmist, revive us again. That pattern of need for being revived again. And that is a continual, a regular pattern that is in our life. Someone has said we're either in a state of revival or we're in a state of need for revival. You know, there's no in between. Either tonight you have today or tonight right now you're in revival, or there is a need for you to be revived. And the psalmist, wilt thou not revive us again? That pattern, that picture we see, just paints, shows us who God is. He wants us to be bring us back to that relationship with Him. We'll look at a couple other verses here. There's that phrase, return unto the Lord, that we see many times throughout the Scripture. Look at Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. We'll read that. It says, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up." Return unto the Lord. See that truth in several, not the exact wording, but in several other places. One clear one is James chapter 4 and verse 8, when it says, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you." The principle there is we need to be brought back to God. We need to be brought back to that place where He wants us to be, that fellowship that He wants us to be in. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. What a great promise there in the Word of God. And the comforting thing it is here for us tonight is, you know what? No matter what condition we're in as a child of God, no matter how far we stray from God, He wants us to have that fellowship with Him restored. It's not like we get to a certain point and He says, "Ah, they're past hope. I can't help him. I can't do anything for him." No, He's always there. That principle that He's always there, ready to respond when we turn to Him. And of course, that's a working of God, the Spirit of God in us to do that. But tonight, we can be experiencing revival. We can be walking, and we don't even have to use that term, but we could just be walking with Jesus. That's really all it means. And that's how God wants our lives to be. We won't look there, but in many other places in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we see this. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, Joel, the revival there in Joel chapter 2, we see that truth being taught. So the believer is in regular need of revival. Now, I trust that many here tonight are experiencing, are walking with Jesus, are experiencing Him in their life, and that He is the center and the foundation of their life. And that really is the key, the foundation to walking and experiencing life how God intends us, is that path of daily walking with Jesus. That is so key. That is the foundation. Folks, if we're the child of God here tonight, He needs to be the center of our life. He ought to be the focus and the center and the attention that our life revolves around. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, Well, why don't we turn there? It's a great verse. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at start in verse 1. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." I love those words. When Christ, who is our life. You know, if we're a child of God, that's not merely just talking about when he comes to take us home. That's right now. We can be experiencing him as our life, as the one who sustains us. And we need him. And he ought to be the center of our life. We ought to so know him that he is seen through us. Is that the reality that you are experiencing in your life here tonight? You know, the Christian life without being centered on Jesus Christ becomes empty and dry. It's about him. If it's not about him, we're not truly experiencing the life how he intends us to. It's all about him. Now, this daily walking with Jesus really involves obedience to him, obeying him. You know, if we truly love him, that's going to be the reality of our life, is obedience to him. The Word of God is going to be a vital part of our life, filling our life with the Word of God. If he is the center, if he is our life, then his Word ought to be the very center of our life. We ought to be filling ourselves with his Word. How important is it for us to be in the Word of God each day? How important is it to find our strength here in God's Word? Well, Christ needs to be the center of our life. He needs to be the one that our life is focused on and centered on. You know, how well do we know Jesus Christ here tonight? How much a reality is he of our life? You know, is it important for us to spend time with him? Is it important for us to be in the Word of God? Is it a big deal to us that if we're not obeying God's Word, if we're not obeying his commands, is that a big deal to us? And that key to a consistent walk with God and experiencing that daily, that reviving, that working of God in our life, it comes from a daily walk with Jesus. You know what? Our homes need us to walk with Jesus. Our families need it. You know what? In the home, the Lord Christ ought to be seen. In our marriage, our relationship, Christ ought to be the center. In our workplace, Christ ought to be there with us. He ought to be the center. In the classroom, maybe even as a young person, he needs to be there. As a teacher, whatever it may be, as a mom or as a dad, as a boss, we need him to be the center of our life. You know, are you experiencing a walk, consistent, vibrant walk in relationship with God? I hope and I trust that you are tonight. I wonder, do we have that desire to know him, to walk with him? And I trust as we see, even here tonight, this principle that we are in regular need of revival, that God would give us a deeper passion to know him, a consuming desire to know him. You know, not just this, you know, it's a very real thing that we can experience in our life, walking with him and knowing him. And we get very distracted with the things of life that, in a sense, Jesus just become something like a crutch or just something to get us to heaven. When, you know, He intends to be the very center of our life and of the center of a vibrant walk with God. No, today, are you experiencing the kind of Christian life that God wants you to? You know, maybe if you compare yourself to somebody else, it might look good. But when we compare ourselves to what God intends for us to be experiencing, when we compare ourselves and with Jesus Christ, you know, we come so short. And we ought to be seeking and desiring that kind of a relationship with Jesus Christ. As we are thinking of the revival meetings coming up, I trust that even now we would begin preparing our hearts. It's not about meetings. It's not about, it's an individual thing that each of us can experience and know. And I trust if we are going to experience that, no, it's going to be all about Jesus. It's going to be all about Him. It's about knowing Him and walking with Him. It's about others seeing Him in our life. And is that the case here tonight? And I just trust that this biblical principle and the Word of God will remind us here tonight that we need Jesus Christ. That daily we need to be concerned about our walk with Him. And are we experiencing that relationship, that fellowship with God that He intends us to have? And you know what? Our church needs every one of us to be walking with Jesus, to be walking with Him, to be in that close relationship and fellowship with Him that's real, that's evident to others. And that is transforming our life day by day. You know, when you're walking with God, you know, you never get to a place where you think, oh, I'm here. Man, He just keeps doing a deeper work in your life and He keeps showing you greater need and, just that who we are. He makes it much more clear to us and how great He is in walking with Him. And so tonight, seek after the Lord. Desire that close fellowship with Him and that relationship with Him that He intends us to have. And you know what? It will transform your life. It really will. And that is what we need as individual believers, is that personal revival, that personal walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, would You take the truth that was given here tonight and Lord, it has to be a work of God that reveals to each one of us our need. And Lord, would You begin a work here in our church tonight of individuals all across this room being serious about knowing You, being serious about walking with You daily, Lord. Give us that heart. Oh, Lord, may we not wait till Sunday to hear from You again. Lord, tomorrow morning, tonight, even as we walk with You, may You transform us. May You change us. And Lord, I pray that You would take us past just professional Christianity to reality, to realness. And that work that only the Spirit of God can do in us. And Lord, You have to create that thirst and desire in our soul. God, I pray that there'd be some here tonight of Your people, Your children, that would somehow catch the burden of this message. And Lord, that You would ignite a desire in their soul to know You, to walk with You like they've never done before. And God, as we think of the needs all around us, Lord, it's imperative that we walk with You. It's imperative that we are walking in revival in that relationship that You desire for us. So, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would do a work in hearts here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.